Good morning. Today's daf and nazir is Samach Yimel. We are starting on the very top of Samach Yimel, Amud Aleph. We are with the Mishnah. Here we are in the ninth parak of the Masechta, final parak of the Masechta, and we are wrapping up. We're finishing up the Masechta, just a short couple more days to go. I think Thursday we finish the Masechta. Anyway, last topic of the Masechta is going to be whether or not Shmuel was a nazir. So a little bit of historical discussion at the tail end, but the ninth parak, hard to put exactly a summarizing sentence in terms of what the ninth parak is about. The rest of the Masechta is kind of easy, relatively. First five parakim in the Masechta, if you recall, that's the first half of the Masechta, so that talks about becoming a Nazir, exactly what you need to formulate in order to take upon yourself Naziris. So a lot of Nadarm discussion that occurred in the first half of the Masechta regarding what exactly is the formula that a person needs to say in order to become a Nazir. The sixth parak of the Masechta, so that talked about the Isuri Nazir, the three Isurim that revolve around being a Nazir, that is going to be the cutting of your hair, the not drinking wine, and exposure to Tumah, Tumas Mace. And then the seventh parak. Seventh parak really was a deep dive into Tumas Mace. The eighth parak, which we recently just concluded, so dealt with various fakos. In other words, a person is a Nazir, and two people are Nazirim, and one of them is Tumah, we don't know which one. And other forms of sfeikos, right? That eighth parak was extraordinarily challenging, especially when we got up to Daf Samach, really the bottom of Nun Tesmud Beis, where there, like, we launched into one of the more complicated sfeikos that we've seen throughout Shas. So you were a Nazir, and you were a Safek Nazir Tameh, and you were a Safek Mitzora. Okay, but that was the eighth parak of the Masechta, various sfeikos. And here we are now in the ninth parak. And what's the topic in the ninth parak? So various miscellaneous halachas regarding a Nazir. Basically, anything that we haven't covered earlier. Right? We opened up the ninth parak with a simple question of who's eligible to become a Nazir. Right? Women, Eved Kenani, they can become a Nazir. A guy cannot become a Nazir. Okay, so we start off with basic questions of eligibility. Funny, not that I really am into the mindset of Rabbi Yehuda Nazir, but if I think I am, which I'm not, but if I think I am, so typically those basic questions of eligibility, those usually are put at the beginning of the Masechta, not all the way at the end of the Masechta, but okay. Anyway, so that was one. And then there's going to be today's topic. So today's topic, we're going to introduce a brand new topic. Here we are now towards the end of the Masechta. We only have but a short couple days to go. And now we introduce ourselves to a brand new topic within the world of Nazir, and that's what's called Tumas HaTahom. Okay, probably there's a chance that you heard about this topic before. When we learned the Gemara in Pesachim, so we're going to have a parallel sugya in Pesachim that almost echoes exactly our sugya over here. There are some subtle differences between the Gemara in Pesachim and our Gemara over here. Tosfos, we're not going to go through these Tosfosim today, but Tosfos does point out what are these subtle differences. He tries to explain exactly how our sugya and the Gemara in Pesachim compare, how they contrast. Okay, but anyway, but so for sure, if you've gone through Pesachim, you've heard about this topic before, but now we get to discuss this topic in the context of Nazir. Okay, even before we start with the Mishnah and before we go with today's Gemara, it's a short daf, it's not particularly long. So just a quick introduction to what's this idea of Tumas HaTahom. Tumas HaTahom is that you got exposure to Tumas Mace, but it just happens to be that it was buried underground and it wasn't marked and nobody knew about it. Now, when I say nobody knew about it, by the way, that's going to be a little bit strange. Nobody knew about it. In other words, did somebody bury him? Let's argue yes. In other words, he didn't just simply find his way underground. Let's assume that somebody buried him, but after that point in time, nobody knew about it. It was only discovered at a later point in time. So this in halacha is what's called Tumas HaTahom. Now, before the halacha, so what would I have thought? Okay, here's what I would have thought. You had exposure to this Tumah. Now remember, exposure to Tumah, we're talking obviously here about OL, and that is that you were directly over, right? There's no roof and there's no transfer of the Tumah via the roof, but you were directly over the Tumah. So this is what's called being Ma'ahil. Okay, you basically served as the roof. So you were directly over the Tumah, but you just didn't know. But at a later point in time, you discovered. I would have thought that even though at the time you didn't know, but there was an actual exposure that occurred, and so as a result of that, you're tummy. Okay? Granted, the discovery of it occurred at a later point in time. Granted, nobody knew that there was a mace over there, but you would have been tummy. Okay. So without today's daf, so I just would have simply said that the individual had an exposure and granted he only discovered at a later point in time that he's tummy. Okay. What we're going to learn in the course of today's daf is that there is what's called a halach l'moshe m'sinai. In the course of this Masechta, there have been numerous halach l'moshe m'sinais that revolve around a Nazir. In fact, just yesterday we were able to review some of the basic halach l'moshe m'sinais of being a Nazir. The idea that you can have your son become a Nazir, even though he's under bar mitzvah, and that you can impose Naziris on your son, halach l'moshe m'sinai. The fact that if your father left as part of the estate, money set aside for his Naziris, but he never was able to use that money and spend that money, and now you inherit that money, you could use that said money for Naziris. I'm throwing out examples of halach l'moshe m'sinais that we learned in the course of our Masechta. So here now we're going to add it to the list. Another halach l'moshe m'sinai in our Masechta, and that is that if you had exposure to Tumas HaTahom, and you discovered at a later point in time, and we're going to really pinpoint exactly what that means at a later point in time. So what you can do now is that basically you can ignore the tumma. That's weird. Normally, when do you ever have a chance of ignoring tumma? So over here, even though there was absolutely exposure, but because it qualifies as tumas tahom, so and you discovered at a later point in time, so therefore you can, that tumma can be ignored. And this is a special halach l'moshe m'sinai. It exists by Nazir. It also exists by Karban Pesach, and that's it. That'll be your short list of the number of times in halacha where we can apply this halacha of Tumas HaTahom. Okay? Does it make sense? The answer would seem to be no. Meaning that this would be, given the rules of Tumas Meis, and given what we know regarding how exactly transmission of Tumas Meis works, so does this halacha make sense? The answer is probably no. But that's fine. In other words, halach l'moshe m'sinai doesn't have to work within a system that is given to us. It can operate beyond and above the system. So over here, even though we're going to be learning in the course of today's daf, the halach of Tumas HaTahom doesn't have to make sense. At a certain point in time, the Gemara is going to try to make sense of it. But the truth of the matter is, even the Gemara is going to concede this is what's called halach l'moshe m'sinai, and therefore it doesn't have to defy logic. I'm trying to avoid using the word logic. In other words, we're talking about the halachas of tumah over here. But given the system of tumah that we know about, so it's going to defy the system. The halach l'moshe m'sinai goes beyond the system. Adkan, that's basically going to be our introduction for today, and let's begin now with a Mishnah and a Gemara. Mishnah starts off, Nazir Shegileach V'Nodeloshu Tameh. So the Nazir is Megaleach. So in other words, here's the timeline. Timeline is that he committed to becoming a Nazir. He served his Naziris, meaning he counted out the days. He finished counting. And now he successfully is bringing his Karbanos at the end. Right? It's a very simple, streamlined timeline of what has occurred. And all the way to the point where he brought his Karbanos and he did Giluach. We're basically at the end. We're not basically. We are. We're at the end now. And the Giluach now is really going to be the critical point now, which is going to allow him to go and drink wine again, meaning his Naziris has officially come to an end. And Mano Deloshu Tame. And then some bad news was given to him. You know, earlier you became Tame. You just didn't know about it. So he's learning about it after Giluach. So now it depends, what kind of tumma are we talking about? Are we talking about standard exposure to tumma, or are we talking about tumma satahom? So that's exactly what the Mishnah says. Im tumma yedua, soser. So if it's tumma yedua just simply means it's tumma that people knew about. So then it's soser. Now when I say people, by the way, obviously not him, meaning if he knew about it, he wouldn't have gone through the whole process of karbanos and giluach. He didn't know about it, but other people knew about it. So this will now fall under the category of tumma yedua. So now, soser. So what it's going to do now is that it's going to undo his Naziris. Okay, exactly how much of his Naziris is going to undo? At the midpoint of today's daf, we're going to ask and answer that question. V'im tumma satahom ain't a soser. But tumma satahom ain't a soser. So here it is, the Mishnah introducing us to this idea of tumma satahom. Now, again, we're going to give more and better definition of Tumas Tahom over the course of today's daf. So for the time being, I'll just simply keep calling it Tumas Tahom. And then later this morning, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, we're going to all have better understanding of its definition. Now, what if its discovery is before Giluach? So Ben Kach Ben Kach, it doesn't matter if it's Tumah Yidu, it doesn't matter if it's Tumas Tahom. So sir, it's going to undo his Nazirus. Meaning that this special exception of Tumas Tahom is only when you discover Tumas Tahom after Giluach. So that now becomes a critical point within Tumas Tahom leniency. The Heter of Tumas Tahom is only when discovery is after Giluach. Ketzad. So the Mishnah itself now is going to try to illustrate. So Yared Litbal Ben Ma'arav Nimsa Meit Safa Apia Ma'arav. So let's say, for example, you're toveling in a cave. And right back in the day, that's where you went to go tovel. In other words, there was a cave, collected rainwater, maybe there could also be a natural spring running through the cave. Either way, in other words, the cave now is going to be serving as a kosher mikvah. You went and you toveled in the mikvah, and then, at a later point in time, so what happens is that human remains was discovered in the cave. Okay, absolutely disturbing, but we're now past the disturbing part of the story, and now we're getting to the halachic portion of the story. So now that means to say that there's possibility that human remains was there when you toveled. Now, you didn't see it there when you toveled, but I would imagine cave water is not exactly the cleanest of water, and so there's a really strong possibility that it was there, you didn't know. So, under those circumstances, you are now tamei. Okay. Meaning, this is going to be a classic case of suffolk. Tosfos over here writes, this is a suffolk tama, and where are we right now? In a cave? Presumably you are by yourself. So this is Safik Toma Brisho Sayachid, and we all know the rule. Safik Toma Brisho Sayachid Sveiko Tame. So this is that's case number one. Classic. And now, Nimsa Mishuka Bekarka Ma'ara. So now let's say that the human remains was not in the water. Okay. But rather, it was buried under the ground of the cave. So again, you're using the cave right now as a mikvah. And then, at a later point in time, I don't know, maybe the cave dried out, and now somebody was digging on the ground of the cave, and under the ground of the cave, what's discovered is remains, human remains. So this is what's called Tumas Tahom. So Yaru Lahakir, now over here, you went to the Mikvah Lahakir just to cool yourself off. The Gemara is going to note and make a simple observation that over here, the cave, we didn't have to change the case. Meaning, we could have just simply said that you went to the cave in order to tovel on the mikvah. But still, for some reason, which the Gemara is going to explain, over here, we're talking now about, you were really hot and you wanted to cool off, so you went into the cave to cool off. Okay. Gemara is going to make that comment. Just foreshadowing. So, Yaru Lahakir Tahor Li Tahor Mitomas Meis Tame Shecheskas Tame Tame Vecheskas Tahor Tahor Sheraglaim Ladaver. So, if what you did is that you went to cool yourself off, and you went in there, and you were already tummy Thomas Mace. So, if you were okay, very 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 good observation. Okay, we'll talk more. We'll talk a little bit more about it. So, if you were tummy Thomas Mace and you went in there to cool off, and there was Thomas at home. So even though there was Tumas Tahom, even though we just learned together that there's a heter, that Tumas Tahom that's discovered at a later point in time can be ignored, but over here, because you're already Tami Tumas Mace, so this is now going to bring us to this idea of Raglaim Ladaver. At that point in time, even though there's a heter, but in other words, but we also have to work within a halachic system. Meaning you already have a chazakah of being Tami, and specifically Tumas Mace. So since you already have a chazak of being tummy Tumas Mace, and you had now exposure to Tumma, and even though it's the kind of Tumma which in other areas we can ignore, and there's not a long list of times that you could just ignore Tumas Mace, but over here you can, you're allowed to ignore the Tumas Mace. So as a result of that, as a result of the fact that you're already tummy Tumas Mace, so now you are not afforded the heter of Tumas Tahom. And this is the idea of Raglaim Ladaver. You're going to hear that term Raglaim Ladaver in about a week's time from now, right? In our opening sugya of Sota. So you're going to hear that term again. I'll note it when we get there. Okay, so in our Mishnah, so an introduction to an entirely new idea that we have not yet seen in our Masechta. And that is the idea of Tumas Atom. So Tumas Atom, which is going to have very strict definitions. So if, in fact, your exposure to Tumas Mace qualifies and falls under the category of Tumas Atom, and an important detail, and the discovery of it is occurring after Giluach, so under those circumstances, what you could do is just simply ignore the exposure. Over the course of today's daf, we're going to be learning more regarding this, but all this serves as halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, meaning as the Gemara is going to open up, suggesting for a second that this is based on psukim and drashas. The Gemara is going to acknowledge it's not a pasuk, it's not a drasha. This is what falls under the category of halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. And now, immediately, we start with the Gemara. The Gemara starts off Amar Rav Elazar. How do I know this? Meaning, where do we know these halachas from? Okay, so you already know, I gave enough background, enough introduction, you already know where the Gemara is going to go. So Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Krav Vechiyam was Meis Alav V'Pesa Pitom. So what happens was, is that the dead died literally upon you. Right? Now this is a description of a Nazir. The Pasuk over here describing the Nazir. Vechiyamus, I'm reading the Pasuk in its totality. Vechiyamus Meis Alav V'Pesa Pitom. Okay, so then the Torah says, then now that you're Tamei Meis, so now you have to go through the Torah process, you the Nazir. So, we're focusing on the V'chi Amos Meis Alav. So, B'machres Lo. In other words, it had to be something that you knew about. It was clear to you. That is one possible source of, if it wasn't clear to you, i.e. was Tumas Atahom, so then you're not going to be tamei. Okay? Reish Lakish Amar Amar Krakiyah Tamal Nefesh Abederch Rechoka. Now Reish Lakish is going to be citing another pasuk. Now this pasuk happens to be in Parshas Behaloscha. This pasuk is talking about a Karban Pesach. And we know that with a Karban Pesach, and if you're tamei, so what's going to happen now is that you're not going to be able to bring Karban Pesach in its proper time. But rather, you're going to be bringing it on Pesach Sheni. Good. That's the Parshas Behaloscha. And Ki Derech. But however, there are two exemptions, and one is that you were Tameh at the time, or you were Derech Rechoka, you were too far away. At the end of the Gemara Pesachim, those last Prakim, not the 10th Perek, right? I think the 9th, either it's the 9th or the 8th, I think it's the 9th. So the Gemara Pesachim over there goes over exactly what are the parameters of Derech Rechoka. Anyway, but what we're going to do in today's daf is that we're going to at least attempt to connect Tuma to Derech Rechoka. So Ma Derech Begaloi Avko Begaloi. So in other words, even though these are two different exemptions, but one is going to help us see the other one, meaning derech, when you're walking on a pathway. So a pathway is clear. So tuma, that also will be serving as an exemption because you're now tamei meis, is going to be where the tuma was clear, i.e. it wasn't tuma satahom. Okay. So ve'ela hadid nan, so the Gemara says, great. So you're telling me now that what we have over here is two possible drushes of how we know about this exemption of tuma satahom. Either a pasuk regarding Nazir or a pasuk regarding Karban Pesach. Like I said earlier in this morning's daf. So take a look at our sugya over here. Take a look at the sugya. It's a parallel sugya of our discussion in the Gemara and Pesachim. And there are going to be subtle differences between the two sugyas. So over here, I won't highlight exactly what the difference is. You could see Tosus over here also makes the observation that these sugyas are not identical to one another. There are subtle differences between them. See the Gemara here. See the Gemara in Pesachim. And then see our Tosfos over here for subtle differences between the sugyas. But anyway, we're going to just go through the Gemara. So, Ezu Tumas Atom, Koshena Makira Echa B'Sof HaOlam. Ava Makira Echa B'Sof HaOlam, Ezu Tumas Atom. Meanwhile, we have a Braisa. And the Braisa over here gives us a really strong definition in terms of what's Tumas Atahom. Tumas Atahom, nobody knew it was there. Nobody knew that the mace was there. If somebody knew that the mace was there, that doesn't qualify as Tumas Atahom. Now, Bishlam Laman Darmaki Derech Shapir. So, if you want to say that the limud is coming from Ki Derech, meaning the Pasuk in Baloscha, so then that's very good. Elaman Darmaki Memachveres Ki Makir Echa Basof Allah Mayhave. So, but if you're darshaning from the Pasuk in Nazir, and Bemachveres Lo, meaning, when is it Tumas Atahom? Let's start like this. When is it not Tumas Atahom? When it's clear to you. When is it Tumas Atahom? When it's not clear to you. That's the drasha. Then, if that's the drasha, then I don't understand the braisa we just learned. The braisa we just learned said that if somebody else knows about it, even though you don't know about it, so that's not Tumas HaTahom. Well, what do you mean? From the drasha, isn't all this contingent on you and whether you knew about it or you didn't know about it? So the Gemara says, Vistu, and furthermore, before we answer, let's just pile on. So let's say you have a mace that's buried and it's lengthwise along the road. It fills up the entire width of the road. There's no way that you were able to walk by without going over that body that was buried there. So in regard to Pesach and Nazir, so you're Tahor. Why? Because this qualifies as Tumas HaTahom. Since it qualifies as Tumas HaTahom, so therefore you're going to be Tahor. On the other hand, for Truma, basically for any other arena of Halacha, where Tumah is significant, so you're Tameh. You can't eat Truma. Obviously, just make an obvious point, we're obviously talking about where you discovered it at a later point in time, meaning as you were walking over it, you clearly didn't see it over there. It was buried underground. But nevertheless, somebody uncovered it. So regarding Pesach and Nazir, so this qualifies now as Tumas HaTahom. Meaning, even though we know now that you were exposed, but it's an exposure where it's fine. However, regarding Truma, basically any other area of Halacha, it's not fine. So Mishnah, so the Gemara says, so I don't understand. So what difference does it make? I mean, why are we making any kind of distinction regarding Nazir, Pesach, and other halachas? So Ella, so the Gemara finally concedes Tumas HaTahom, Gemara Gemirala. So the Gemara says this is Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, meaning that as much as the Amoraim, Rebbe Lazan, Reish Lakish, main attempt to learn it from Psukim, the Gemara finally now concedes it's not to be learned from Psukim because this is not a pasuk based halacha. This is just simply Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, and there are no drushas that will explain it. And if we're looking for drushas to explain it, so then we're going to have to fit it into the Psukim. It doesn't fit into the Psukim. It doesn't have to. It's Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Good. So point number one in today's daf is that this idea of Tumas HaTahom is not a drusha-based halacha, but rather, it's Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. And now we get to definitions. So now, number one. So we saw this in the Mishnah already, but now we're going to be able to attach a name to this particular halacha. When we said that Tumas HaTahom is something you can ignore, okay, you had exposure to the Tumah, but you didn't know about it. Not only did you not know about it, nobody knew about it. It was buried underground. Nobody marked where exactly this body was buried. But we know that you were at exposure, but you learned about it later. So the Mishnah says that you can ignore it if you learn it after a significant moment. What's that significant moment? Giluach. You already counted your days. You already brought your karbanos. You already shaved. So you do all that, and then you learn about Tumas HaTahom. Tumas HaTahom can now be ignored. That's the Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. So obviously over here in terms of when does it become something ignorable? Only after Giluach. Okay? That means that Giluach is going to be your significant moment. Now, this is something that we've discussed numerous times in our Masechta, and that is, it's a machlokus. When exactly is a significant moment of your conclusion of Naziris? When is Siyum HaNaziris? If I remember correctly, I really hope I do. In other words, right? I've been teaching Nazir now for 2 months. Okay, so if I remember correctly, there are 4 opinions on this matter. But right now, if we could just distill, okay, and just narrow down to 2. So the one opinion that we've seen already a number of times on our Masechta is the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. Bringing the karbanos is not enough. Sorry. To arrive at Siyum, to arrive at conclusion, but rather, Giluach, you have to bring the karbanos and you also have to shave. Then and only then have you arrived at the point of Siyum HaNaziris. On the other hand, if I remember correctly, there are 3 other opinions, but a distillation over here, the other opinion is bringing the karbanos. And when I say the karbanos, it doesn't even have to be all 3. One of the 3 would be enough in order to represent now the Siyum of Naziris, where you can now go ahead and drink wine and be Matam Lameis and so forth and so on. Okay. So when our Mishnah says that Tumas HaTahom, when learning about it after a significant point in time, pointing to Giluach as being the significant point in time. So you know what? Our Mishnah is following the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, good. Very good. It's a simple observation, but simple after you know the Shitas. So, by Rami Bar Chama, so we're on the very bottom of Samach Yimel Amud Aleph, three lines from the bottom, Nitma B'toch Malos V'Nodo Lo Lachar Malos Mahu. Okay. So let's say like the following. You are Nitma B'toch Malos. The exposure to Tuma, and again, Tuma Satahom is what we're describing right now, and your exposure to it was while you were counting, meaning during your Naziris. But your discovery of it was after Malos, Mahu. So now the question on the table is the following: Basu yediyah zlina v'yediyah achem alosu, o lo. So the Gemara says that how do we consider this halacha? Now we'll look at this as what that are we looking at when you actually became tamei, or are we looking about when you discovered it? Now ulamai lemister. Now over here, meaning what? How is it going to play out? In other words, what ramifications are there going to be? And that is going to be regarding whether or not it's going to undo your count. Meaning, remember, if you counted and you become tamei, so now you play yamim rishonim. The first days that you counted are going to be undone, and now you're going to have to start again. Now, also a reminder, according to Rabbi Eliezer, because remember that's the sheet that we're in right now. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you become tamei after malos. What's the halacha according to Rabbi Eliezer?
7 days.
7 days. Oh, good. So you only need to go ahead and wait 7 days, and then you can go ahead and bring your kabbanas. Then when we say 7 days, I'm meaning that would be the number of days that it would take you to become tahor. Okay, good. So but according to Rabbi Eliezer, he learned it out from a drasha. We saw a drasha a couple times earlier in the Masechta, and that is that according to Rabbi Eliezer, if you become tamei achar hamalos from any time from malos going forward, so then you only have to wait 7 days. Good. So now the question is basically dealing with a really straightforward question, which is that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you became tamei during malos but discovered it after malos. Now, why is the Gemara asking that over here? Well, I'll tell you why. Because we just learned together that the exemption of tumas hatahom is going to be based on Yediya, when you discovered you become Tameh, meaning that obviously the Tumas HaTahom issue is you became, your exposure to Tumas HaTahom was during, but you learned about it afterwards. As long as you learned about it after Giluach, so then that now qualifies as a case of Tumas HaTahom. So now that we know that, so now we just simply want to carry over. So now we'll leave the world of Tumas HaTahom, we'll just go to a simple question of regular exposure. It was during your count, but you learned about it after the malos. So now are we, which now becomes significant? So Amar Rav Tashma, so Rav says, okay, let's take a look at our Mishnah. If let's say it's Achilo Gileach, so then Ben Kachu Ben Kach Soser, so then it's going to be Soser, then it's going to undo. Now Hechidami. So the Gemara says, now in our Mishnah, so specifically, what is the Mishnah describing? Idi Siadele Besach Malos, so Srichel Meimar. Meaning, did you learn about it during while you were counting? So then I don't need a Mishnah to tell me that you had an exposure during while you were counting. So obviously. So Ella Lav Lachem Malos. So the Gemara says it must be that it was after the Malos. Meaning after the Malos, but obviously before the Giluach. So Shmamina. So the Gemara says, so good. So what do you see over here? That it was that again, we set up our Mishnah like Rabbi Eliezer. We also now in our Mishnah are being medayik that you became, your exposure was during the count. You learned about it after the malos, obviously before Giluach. V'adayin tibayilach, the Gemara says, okay, I'm with you, but it didn't really resolve our question. Our question is, how many days is it going to undo? So, kulososer, o shivososer, laman, ilem, ala rabban, pshita, de kulososer. The Gemara says, again, according to the Chachamim, even after the malos, it's going to undo all 30 days. So v'ila Rabbi Lazar kol achem malos shiva soser. So and according to Rabbi Lazar, if you learn about your tumah, if you were exposed to your tumah after malos, it's only going to undo 7 days. So I'm lachan imilikinin ma'achem malos v'halifnei malosu. So the Gemara says, okay, I know the halacha according to Rabbi Lazar when you actually become tumah after the malos. Our question on the table, which we've been asking. And the Gemara over here is just amplifying the question. I mean, Tosos points out over here. We're not breaking new ground now. We're just reintroducing the question that we asked on the bottom of the previous Amud. And so we're just simply restating the question. meaning according to Rabbi Eliezer, you became Tamei, your exposure to Tumah was during your count, and you now learn about it after the Malos. So now, how does this count? Does this count as if you became Tamei after the Malos, therefore only undoing 7 days, or no? According to Rabbi Eliezer, even though you learned about it after the Malos, but your exposure was during the count, so therefore, maybe it undoes 30 days. So, umina. So the Gemara says, okay, now that we've restated the question, let's go to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, ketani ben kach ve kach soser velo kamiflegi. Our Mishnah says, ben kach ve kach. Our Mishnah does not discriminate. Our Mishnah says that as long as you learn about it before the Giluach, meaning again, our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that the Giluach becomes a significant moment. Any discovery before Giluach, no good. Any discovery after Giluach, you're fine. That's our Mishnah. Ah, but any discovery before Giluach, look at the words of the Mishnah. Beinkach uveinkach. Ah, so under either circumstance, so it's going to be that you're Tamei. By virtue of the fact that the Mishnah says beinkach uveinkach, so that means to say that it doesn't matter when we are, meaning whether or not we are exposure during Malos, learning about it afterwards, or even becoming Tamei after the Malos, beinkach uveinkach. Meaning the Diak in the Mishnah would seem to indicate that as long as your discovery was after Malos, it only upsets 7 days. Okay.
What happens after you cut your hair and gave
Korbanos? And what happens?
Yeah, you already did, and then you found out.
And then you find out. So again, it depends. If it's Tumah Yedua, so then it upsets your Nazirus. If it's Tumah Satom, then you're fine. As long as it's Tumah Satom, you're fine.
7 days after
Malos, before
the
deadline. Right, correct. Okay, good. All right, that last part was a little bit tricky, I admit. In other words, it's a really detailed question within the Shita Rabbi Eliezer about whether or not his special halacha of undoing only 7 days is only when you become Tamei after the Malos, or you became Tamei within the Malos but discovered it after the Malos. Okay, a very detailed question within Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, continuing in the Gemara Tanu Rabbanan, we're on Samach Gimel Amud Beis, and we're about a quarter of the way down. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a brisa. Amotzei meis muta l'rech v'ashol derech. So, what happened was is that you're walking on a pathway, and there is a body buried over there. Right now, currently, obviously, you didn't know about it. And it's buried, lengthwise, right? Along the width of the road. So, l'trum, tamei v'nazir v'osei pesach tahor. So for Truma, your tummy, and for Nazir, and for Osei Pesach, you're going to be Tahor. Meaning, this is a qualifying case of Tumasa Tahom. And for Tumasa Tahom, so again, for two areas of Halacha, Karm Pesach and Nazir, so it's fine. It can be overlooked. But not for Truma. But that's only where there was no room for you to navigate. Meaning that the body is buried in such a way where it covers the entire width of the road, and so therefore there was no room, there was no wiggle room, there was no way to circumvent. However, if let's say it doesn't cover the entire width of the road, there was a way to walk down the road and you not to have exposure with the tumah, so then we're fine, you're tahor. Now why should that be? So Tosfos here again reminds us, because now we're talking about a pathway, we're assuming that we're in a public area. And you may or may not have had exposure to Tumah. So what are we looking at over here? This is Safik Tumah Bereshos HaRabim. Safik Tumah Bereshos HaRabim, Sveko Tahor. Ba'amed V'amam Shemasa Shalem, Aval. And that's only if the mace was totally intact. Aval, Mishubar Mufarak. But let's say that the remains was in segments, was in pieces. And once again, which is 1 second. Let me just finish. And once again, there are ways for you to have walked past and not having exposure. I feel ain makam la'avor. So even if, let's say, overall there was it covered the entire area, but there were ways in which you could have navigated. So chayshim and shema ben prakim avar. So then chayshinan, we are concerned. It's a funny usage of the word chayshinan. We are concerned. And meaning over here, it's not a concern. It's just simply a possibility. Since there's a possibility where you could have navigated through the pieces, so then, once again, it's a case of suffix, and it's a suffix, Tumah Bereshos HaRabim, Sveko Tahor. Uve Kever, Now, let's say the body was buried in a kever. So what have we learned previously? And we're going to learn again now. And that is that the kever consolidates. The kever unifies. If you have a body buried in a kever, so what that kever now does is that it creates an entire unity of body. And so therefore, the kever is going to launch the tumah up over every area of the kever, even where there are even parts of the kever that doesn't have human remains. Over kever, I feel a meshubar, mefurek, tameh, min misha kever, mitzarfo, because the kever is going to be mitzarif. Ba'meh devar mamorim. And wait, we're not done. And the Gemara and the Brisa continues. Once again, a new qualifier. That's this b'mahalach b'rag. That's when you're walking over the remains. And as Tosfos over here describes, when you're walking over the remains, so you are your surface area is really limited. In other words, remember now we're talking vertically. How much area do you cover vertically? Not much. An amma by an amma, right? I'm using my sukkah measurements in terms of the width of an individual. An amma by an amma. So in other words, you can just simply snake your way through the pieces. At least it's possible. Aval ton arachov. However, if you are being carried, if you're riding on an animal, where now your surface area is going to be much greater, so now the chances of you having successfully navigated through the human remains is really unlikely, so therefore you're going to be tummy. And over here, the Braisa is just a little more verbose. Right, up until now, we're not given a lot of words, but over here, more words. And that is because when you're walking upright, so, like I just described, you're right, you're a thinner moving target. However, ta'un arachov, but if you're being carried, if you're riding, yefshe shalo yigav shalo yasit, fishalo yahil. But if you're riding, so now you're going to be more horizontal, and therefore your chances of exposure is that much greater. And b'medvar mamorim, and yet we're not done. So, but Tumas Hatahom. And all this is a description of Tumas Hatahom. Once again, the body was there. Obviously, at the time, you didn't know about it. But not only did you not know about it, nobody knew about it. And so therefore, the idea now that you had exposure and you get to ignore it, so that is only when it qualifies as Tumas Hatahom. Tumas Yadua, Shloshim Tameyim. But if it's Tumas Yadua, meaning that it was known, people know that people were buried there, just happens to be you didn't know, so then shloshim tamein. So all three cases, meaning Karban Pesach, Nazir, and Truma, all of them are going to be tamei. The Ezu Tumas Hatahom. And so over here, the Braisa now is going to share with us what we already knew, but this is really formal. This is now going to be a formulation of the rule of Tumas Hatahom. Kol Shein Makira Echad Besofa Olam. It's when nobody knew that there was Tumah over there. Now again, when we say nobody, so it's a little bit hard to understand the qualification, but it means right now, currently, somebody buried a body over there, but nobody knew about it. Again, obviously the person who buried knew about it, but nobody else did. So the Besof HaOlam, Makira Echa Besof HaOlam means the Tumas Hatahom. So, but if somebody went ahead and knew about it, so this doesn't qualify as Tumas Hatahom. Hayatamun b'tevin abitzroros are is the Tumas Hatahom. Now, in order for it to qualify as Tumas Hatahom, it has to be buried underground. And now, this is just classic Braisa, let's define. What does that mean, buried underground? Oh, good. So Hareza, if it's buried underneath, Tevin, O Tsroros. So obviously the examples of underground, really interesting, right? Tevin is not stones. Sorry. Tevin is straw. Okay. For our purposes right now, that will be considered underground. Pebbles, I raise it to Masatom. However, Biyamim of Afelov and Nikika Esalaim ain't it to Masatom. However, if let's say under the lake, but in other words, over the bed of the lake, in other words, just happens to be underwater, the human remains were on the bottom of the lake. That's not to Masatom. Because then again, that's not underground. Or alternatively, Abafela, it just happens to be dark. In other words, so you didn't see it there, but it's not underground. That's not Tumas Hatahom. Nikike Hasalayim. In other words, yes, there's a couple of rocks that are covering it, but in other words, but you can see parts of the remains. Once again, that doesn't qualify as Tumas Hatahom. And finally, Velo Amr Tumas Hatahom, Elamais Bavad. This exemption of Tumas Atoma is only for Mace. In other words, it doesn't apply to any other Tuma. It only applies to Tumas Mace and to no other Tuma. Okay, good. Adkan. Okay, Alan, go ahead.
Number one, the body's buried. How do you know if it's whole or
pieces? In other words, now you don't know. In other words, everything is told to you afterwards. There was, in other words, in our timeline, there was an exposure, and then there was a later point in time of discovery.
But it's telling you you can navigate through it if you...
In other words, as long as there's a possibility that you were able to navigate through the remains, meaning at the point of discovery, you're now finding a piece here, a piece there, okay, body was totally in disarray, and some guy buried the pieces underground. And now, you had an exposure, that's T1, and then at a later point in time, there was discovery. So at the point of discovery, it doesn't cover the whole area. It only covers parts of the area. So there was a chance that you could have walked between. So now we're going to just apply the rules. And we know it's a Safek Tuma. It's on a public street. Safek Tuma Brishas Rabim Sveko Tame. On the other hand, if it now qualifies as Tuma Satahom, even if we know there was exposure. But as long as the discovery occurs. Now, by Nazir, we now know. We're learning Nazir right now. We know that in order for this to be an ignorable event, the discovery has to be even after Giluach. That's what we learned over here. Funny, by Karm Pesach, I wish I could tell you I know. I don't know. Okay, my ignorance. In other words, when is discovery by Karm Pesach? Is it after you brought the Karm Pesach? I don't remember. Okay. In other words, I didn't do my homework. In other words, I told you what we have to do is you have to learn the Gemara here and learn the Gemara in Pesachim because that's a parallel Gemara over there. I have a really good feeling the Gemara in Pesachim tells us. Okay, I don't remember. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
You said that if there was a body in a lake, it's not the home.
Yes.
But it is Tame.
Huh?
It is Tame.
It of course the body's Tame, but in other words...
Is the whole lake Tame?
No. In other words, just the area directly over the remains. Just the area above it. The lake itself is not providing an ohel. It's not serving as an ohel. When you're directly over the remains, so now you're Tame. Once again... This is funny, but this is what we're learning today. If those human remains are at the bottom of the bed of the lake, but in other words, but not under the ground, so that it doesn't qualify as Tumas Atom. That's standard Tuma.
Even though nobody can know it's there.
Again, at the time of exposure, you didn't know. And then at a later point in time, there was discovery. Right. So now, because it wasn't underground, it doesn't qualify as Tumas Atom, and now we're going to just simply apply the rules of, you may have had exposure. We don't know. You may have had exposure. So once again, let's go back to what we know. If it was a cave and you were the only one there, that's a Safek Tuma, Berishos HaYachid, Sveko Tame. If it was public area like a road, so then that's Safek Tuma, Berishos Rabim, Sveko Tahor. Good. Now, same thing, but now under the bed of the lake, or under the bed of the cave, meaning under the ground of the cave. So now this is a qualifying event of Tumas HaTahom. As such, even though you knew it was there, meaning you had exposure earlier. Obviously, at the time of exposure, you had no idea. Then later, there was a point of discovery. Okay, fine. It was discovered it was there. And you knew you were right there over it, hovering right over it. It's Tumas HaTahom. So for Nazir, for Karm Pesach, you get to ignore it. Why? Halacha Moshe Misinai.
This only applies to Nazir, not to Kohen. Tahom does.
Again, by Cohen, it's kind of non-applicable. Meaning, by Cohen, what does that mean? It means that you walked over there and you didn't know it was there.
Yeah.
Okay, so you didn't know.
You ate truma, someone told you.
In other words, no. But once, no. As a Cohen, that's exactly the point. Very good. As a Cohen, once you learn about it later, so then it's an event. It's an exposure event.
No matter what. There's no
time. Perfect. Okay, excellent. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up at the very bottom.